us hears them in our native language. Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, what an exciting and glorious day it is for us to be in worship. It is Pentecost Sunday. And we remember, as we read the scriptures, how your Spirit came upon those believers gathered in Jerusalem so long ago. And with that same belief and faith, we gather in this place in the name of Jesus, trusting that the same Holy Spirit will be poured out upon us this day. We pray, O God, that you would give us hearts to receive and wills that are ready to act accordingly as your Spirit leads us. All this we ask in the great and powerful name of Jesus our Lord. And everybody agreed with this prayer and said, Amen. So it is Pentecost Sunday. It's one of the three great high days of the church, Christmas and Easter and Pentecost. It's the day on which we remember and celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit to the church. I wonder, however, if there are some of us who don't know exactly what to do with that. Pastor J.D. Greer has once said that for many people, that the Holy Spirit is sort of like our pituitary gland. We are sure glad we have it, but we don't know what to do about it. Well, the Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church. It's what gives life to the church. It's what gives power to our life and our ministry. It is the breath of God that is breathed out upon us. In Hebrew, it's the ruach. In the Greek, it's the pneuma of God, the breath of God. As Jesus was preparing his disciples for his death and resurrection and his ascension, his eventual departure from earth back to heaven, he promised them that he would send a counselor, Parakletos, the one who comes alongside, indeed the one who indwells. The Bible gives us a numerous set of metaphors to understand and grasp the concept of God's Holy Spirit. In one place, the Spirit is compared to a dove. At Jesus' baptism, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And so we often see the image of a dove emblazoned on stained glass or on the paraments and stoles of clergy. Jesus likened the Holy Spirit to the wind when he spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He said, "The wind will blow where it will, and so are all that are born of the Spirit." And in today's reading, we see the metaphor of a fire, the image of fire. It's Pentecost, when the church became the church. Think about what happened on the day of Pentecost and how the Spirit's presence transformed those believers. You may remember 7 or 8 weeks ago during Holy Week and during the Easter celebration that those same people, they denied Jesus, they doubted Jesus, they were afraid and they fled. But 50 days later, they were on fire. That's what the word Pentecost means. It means 50. It's been 50 days since Easter. And as those Jews gathered in Jerusalem for the celebration of the Feast of Pentecost, the Spirit came. And today I want to focus on that metaphor of fire. You know, fire is often used as a metaphor for a vital faith. When we say things that are, when someone is on fire, it means they're in the groove. When a team is on fire, they're winning. When people are on fire, it means that they're living life to the fullest. St. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and said this to that young believer, that young pastor. He said, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." When John the Baptist was preparing the way for the coming of Jesus, he said, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And as we read today in Acts chapter 2, as those believers gathered in the upper room, the Spirit came and what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Friends, I ask you today, is fire a word that you would use to describe your faith today? Is your faith on fire for God? Do you have a burning fire within you that continues to motivate you and challenge you and push you into places you never thought you would go and do things you never thought you would do and say things you never thought you would say? Question for the church today is, do you need more of the Holy Spirit today? If so, just ask. You see, the gift of the Holy Spirit is really about the personal presence of God in our lives. When we experience the Spirit's presence, we're experiencing the presence of God in our midst. And there are so many ways that the Spirit is poured out into our lives on a regular basis. Whenever we hear the gospel proclaimed, the Spirit's presence is very palpable. What I mean by the gospel is the good news of God's love for us. Whenever we hear that God sent His Son, and that whoever believes in Him might not perish but have everlasting life, the Spirit is present. Whenever we hear that God is for us and not against us, we hear the good news of God's mercy and grace, the Spirit is present. And whenever we hear that Christ died to save sinners, the Spirit is present. Because the Spirit is present whenever the good news is shared. And not just the gospel, whenever the word of God is read and preached through instruction and encouragement and examples and wonder, the Spirit is present. Whenever the church gathers, the Spirit is present. Whether that's for a time of fellowship, certainly you've experienced the Spirit's presence when Christians share that sweet fellowship of relationship with one another. When you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that surely the presence of God was in this place. On Sunday mornings, as the church gathers, I see the Spirit in that narthex as people greet one another, as they shake hands and hug one another, as they perhaps reunite from a time of separation, whether they've been gone for a week or two or months and come back. I see the Spirit's presence, don't you? during worship, when the church sings, and when the church prays, and when the church gathers for the worship of the living God, I see and experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I sense the presence of the Holy Spirit as Dan sang that song this morning about God smiling on us. I didn't want that song to end. There was a couple places where I thought, well, that song's over. I wish it was going to continue. And then there'd be another verse. I said, thank you, Lord. It's like that when the Spirit is present. You don't want it to end. We see the personal presence of God in the exercising of spiritual gifts. I love it when Christians use the gifts that God has given them, especially in ways that don't draw attention to themselves, but rather seek to help edify somebody else's life. Simple acts, like a gift of hospitality, or a gift of sewing, or the gift of greeting, or the gift of music, or the gift of technology, or the gift simply of organizing things behind the scenes. The Spirit is pleased when Christians exercise their gifts. It's really how the church is designed to function. When all of us recognize that each of us have diverse gifts and we use them accordingly for the benefit of the church, so that the mission of God is advanced in this world. Amen? I know that for many of us, we have that mindset when we say, well, gifts, you know, those gifts are evident in other people's lives, but they're not evident in mine. Not so fast, my friend. If you struggle seeing the gifts that God has given to you, would you be so bold at some point in the days ahead to come alongside someone who knows you well and ask the question, do you see any gifts in my life? And oh, how the Spirit will identify those gifts immediately through the other person's voice. You don't believe me? Try it. Every one of us goes through seasons when we say, I have nothing to offer. I don't have any gift that I can share. And then suddenly someone says, you know, I really appreciate when you do X, Y, and Z. We all have gifts to share. And when we exercise those spiritual gifts, the Holy Spirit is present. Do you know how else we sense the Spirit's presence in our lives? Through circumstances. Through opportunities that provide open doors for our lives to build relationship with other people and somehow, some way, share the good news of God's love with them. Through open doors to serve, invitations to perhaps go on a mission trip or to find a way to serve within our local community, the Spirit is present in those circumstances, opening those opportunities for us. And most especially, the Holy Spirit is present in our spirit. When something is placed in our heart, when something speaks to our soul, isn't that what Paul meant when he said, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children? I had a moment like that at annual conference. At annual conference! In the middle of debates and dialogue and voting, someone approached to me and came across the aisle, literally came across the aisle, and said to me, aren't you Dean Allen's nephew? And I said, well, yeah, Dean was my wife's uncle, so by marriage, I'm Dean's nephew. She said, oh, Dean, what a sweet man he was. He stayed his last 3 months on this earth in my house, and I took care of him. And suddenly, I felt the Spirit's presence. As I was reminded of what a strong believer Amy's uncle was, what a sweet spirit he had. And in that moment, as someone reminded me of that man's life, the Spirit bore witness to my spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the personal presence of God. And I just want to encourage you and challenge you and remind you to seek out the Spirit's presence every day in your life, so that your faith can grow, that your faith would be vital, that your faith would be on fire. And church, I ask you today, do you need more of Him today? If so, just ask. Because I believe that God wants you to be filled with the Spirit's power more than you want to be filled with the Spirit's power. That's true for all of us. That God wants more of the Holy Spirit in our life more than we want the Holy Spirit in our life, because there's still things that God has for us to do that can't be done on our own. Or we can try. We can try to do it in our own strength and our own wisdom and our own power. But when the Holy Spirit is given to us and we lean on His power, the Holy Spirit unleashes a power for the Christian life that can't be lived any other way. There's a word that gets used in the book of Acts chapter 2 to describe how the Spirit is given on the day of Pentecost. It says the Holy Spirit is poured out. Poured. It's a word that means distributed largely. We had a joke in my family long ago, and it continues even when we gather today. My dad had a saying, whenever desserts were handed out after dinner, usually those were pieces of pie or cake that were cut in small pieces and put on a little plate and given to him, and he'd say, "This ain't no church social," which is his way of saying, "I need a little more of that." And I think about that every time I think of the Holy Spirit being poured out in large amounts upon the church. This ain't no church social. This is the church of the living God. And God is pouring out large amounts of the Spirit on His people so that the work of God can be accomplished in this world. Listen to verses 3 and 4 of Acts chapter 2, as found in the Message Bible, paraphrased by Eugene Peterson. It says, "Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them." Like a wildfire. Oh, how the church needs the fire of the Spirit to burn brightly today. Mark Batterson, a pastor in Washington, D.C., the author of the book Circle Maker, which I know many of you have read and been a part of, he also wrote a book that I thoroughly enjoyed called Wild Goose Chase. He likens the Holy Spirit to a wild goose, which is from a metaphor found in Irish believers. He talks about following the Holy Spirit like one chases a wild goose. You never catch it, but it catches you. And in that book, he wrote, "When Christianity turns into a noun, it becomes a turnoff. Christianity was always intended to be a verb, and more specifically, an action verb." The title of the book of Acts says it all, doesn't it? It's not the book of ideas, or the book of theories, or the book of words. It's the book of Acts, and more specifically, the Acts of the Apostles. If the 21st century church, according to Batterson, said less and did more, maybe we would have that same kind of impact that the first century church did. I suppose there's a reason that the Holy Spirit was given to the believers. Maybe it was given to us to multiply our efforts in alleviating the world's suffering and pointing them to a gracious God who created them and loves them and seeks to redeem them. You may remember in John chapter 14, as Jesus was preparing His disciples for His departure, He said this in verse 12, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in Me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." Have you ever wrestled with that passage? that Jesus himself said will do greater things than these? How in the world can we do greater things than Jesus? Well, maybe he wasn't talking about quality. Maybe he was talking about quantity. That as the Holy Spirit is given to us, it multiplies the efforts of the gospel in our individual and collective lives. I'd say it to you this way, that the Holy Spirit inside you is better than Jesus beside you. Think about that for a second. That as the Spirit works inside our very lives and multiplies our efforts to share the good news of God's love with the world, it's better than just having Jesus beside us. It's like having Jesus in us everywhere we go. So who is this Holy Spirit for? It's for all of us. It's for every one of us. God gives the Holy Spirit to every believer. As Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, he quoted from the prophet Joel, and he said, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given to certain people for certain tasks, for certain seasons. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is given to everybody. Men and women, old and young. As John Wimber said, everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to play. I believe it's God's desire for the church to be on fire, to no longer go through the motions of week in and week out, of Sunday worship and Tuesday Bible study, as important as those things are. If we do them without life and without power and without the Spirit, we'd be better off staying home. But I believe you come here for a reason today. I believe you've come here because you know it's Pentecost Sunday and you want to be inspired to follow the Holy Spirit's leading on your life. That like me, you desire a personal faith that is vital and is on fire for the Lord. And maybe like me, you can look back to a time in your life when it was just that. When you couldn't get enough of God. When you couldn't get enough of His Word. When you couldn't get enough of church. When you couldn't get enough of serving. But for whatever reason, those are days in the past. And they don't have to be. What I'm telling you today is that the Spirit wants to birth in you a new passion and a new desire to serve God to the fullest. That it's very likely and highly possible that our best days are ahead of us and not behind us. Do you believe that, church? That our best days are ahead of us and not behind us. That God has greater things for us to do, more people for us to reach, more lives to see changed, more people baptized and coming to faith in Jesus, more pews to fill, and more places on this globe to send Riversiders to do good works for God. Are you on fire today, church? Do you need more of the Spirit? If so, just ask. Could it be that easy? Could it be that simple? According to Jesus, it is. You may remember in Luke chapter 11, Jesus is trying to teach his disciples how to pray. He gives them the Lord's Prayer, and then he tells them a story, and he said, "Who of you who are parents, if your child would ask for an egg, would give him a scorpion? Or if your child asked for a fish, would give him a snake?" And then Jesus said these words in Luke 11, verse 13, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? It is that simple. A couple of years ago, I was at a church in Nashville participating in the New Room Conference. If you'd ever been to the New Room Conference, go. Be this September at a church in Nashville. It's a movement of Spirit-filled Wesleyans who gather every year to encourage and inspire and to seek God's leading. We were sitting there and we had a breakout session right there in our seats, and a young man gathered with my group, and he said, they've been talking about this Holy Spirit, and I've never experienced the Holy Spirit. All my experience of God is in my head. I know the scriptures and I know the doctrine and I know the creeds and I know the hymns of the church, but when they talk about the Holy Spirit, I don't really know what that's like. And I smiled at him and I said, would you like to? On that day, we gathered around that young man and prayed that he might receive the Holy Spirit. Could it be that simple? Could it be that easy to simply have a desire in your heart for more of God? And in response to that desire, ask. I'd like to do that with you today. As we close our time together in prayer, I invite you just to bow your head, quiet your heart. For some of you, maybe you might feel inclined to just kind of hold out your hands in front of you as though you were receiving something that someone was handing to you. For example, like a gift. And with all the faith that you can muster, hear this prayer. It's prayed upon you today. Oh God, send your Holy Spirit on your people. Enter into every heart that would receive you today, male and female, young and old, of every walk and station of life. Come upon your people today, oh God. Fill us with your Spirit this day anew. Rekindle the fire of faith in us that once perhaps burned brightly, but now has become dull. Continue to fan the flames of our faith that we may grow in our knowledge of Jesus and His Word, that we may be filled with the Spirit and pushed and pulled and led into places we never thought we would go, to do things we never thought we would do, to minister to people that we have never encountered before. And for this church, Lord, and for each person in this room, I pray that bold prayer that I prayed in the past. Do things at Riverside that you have never done before, O God. And do things in our lives that you've never done before. Let this be a new day for your church and a new day for our faith, that as we ask for and humbly receive your Holy Spirit, that our faith might be on fire, that we might live our lives as your sons and daughters. And as the Spirit testifies with our spirit, we might cry out, Abba, Father, God who is not distant, but one who is ever so close as our very next breath. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill your people this day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.